Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Saturday. And, of course, we are wrapping up our study in Acts. And I pray that this study was very beneficial for you, and that you have grown, and that you may have now have a little bit better understanding of Acts than you did at the very beginning. It was, I believe, about 13 lessons, which is a lot. which is what breaks down to about like 3-4 months, so something like that. Or wait a minute, no, it wouldn't be 3-4 months. It's actually, yeah, 2 months, maybe 8. But a lot of lessons. I encourage you guys to check those out. Tonight is our last lesson. And of course, as always, thank you for joining us. If you're just joining, thank you for joining us. And welcome to this podcast. If you have any prayer requests, send them through Facebook, or you can send them straight through this website. If you have any questions, so you can send it through my website. This website, or you can go through Facebook, Twitter, MeWe, Social Cross, all of those social medias. So reach out to me if you need to. Tonight's study is titled Always on Mission. As always on mission, the overall theme is the gospel message for all people. Some will believe, but others will not. Our reading tonight will be in Acts 28, 17 through 28. That's Acts 28, 17 through 28. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Man and brother, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against me, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brother that come show or spoke any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, pursuing them concerning Jesus both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. That's a pretty intense Bible study, right? And when they agree not among themselves, they depart after that Paul has spoken one word. Well, spoke the Holy Ghost by Elijah and the prophet unto our fathers, saying unto this people, and say, Hear ye, shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears have dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and shall be converted, and I shall heal them. Be it known therefore upon you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight in your presence, Lord, thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you for your Son. God, thank you for the strength to endure every day. One day at a time, as that hymn goes, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, one day. Oh, how we can get ahead of ourselves. How we can think, try to think of the next day, when this today is evil enough, has all the trials for enough than thinking about tomorrow. God, I pray that you're with us in this final Bible study in Acts. Lord, I pray that whatever you reveal through your word, that it reaches whoever that needs to hear. Lord, let your words be more powerful. Let your words be so penetrating as a light in the darkness. Oh, a light in the darkness. Let it penetrate the hearts. Let it motivate those who are not committed, that they will lay aside their lukewarmness and their indifference and fully pick up their cross and follow you daily, crucifying that flesh to the cross daily, surrendering our life to you daily, knowing that our life is supposed to be different, a regeneration, a man that is no longer himself or a woman. We are no longer our old, but we are new in Christ. We are new creatures created in Christ Jesus, and let us walk as the light, not as the darkness. This flesh, oh Lord, this flesh can be tough. But we know through the Holy Spirit that comes to live inside of each and every one of us, when we get away from ourselves and we just let you take over, we walk more in the Spirit and less in the works of the flesh. Lord, I pray over our nation, as our nation in America is designated this month to be Pride, Gay Pride, celebrating it through television, internet, through merchandise. Lord, sin is being glorified, and that should break our hearts as people of God. Because a nation that glorifies sin and focuses less on the scriptures is a nation that will be judged, that will face the removing of your hand of protection on a nation that is supposed to be under God. The God, our God, the Holy Scripture, through the Bible, the God that sent Jesus Christ to die for our sin, that God, Lord, the God who created the universe, Lord, all the God who created this world, so beauty it was, the God who created man and woman, the first, the God who knows all, is all-powerful, all-knowing, a God that is full of mercy and grace and is glorified. Oh, a God that is holy and righteous. He can't tolerate sin that is glorified. Lord, I pray that your will be done in America, wherever it may be. We just give it over to you. Your hand is in motion. You know what it will take for a true revival to happen. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Acts 28. You know, some people with the right training, they become excellent sales people. Others are naturals at endorsing a particular product because they use the product or because their life has been changed as a result of that product. Happy customers will eagerly tell everyone and anyone about a product they love. They just can't resist. And what kind of products have others tried to encourage you to use because they found them to work for them? What makes their testimony more effective than a professional salesperson pitching the same product. Man, we could go. I'm pretty sure you guys have your stories and one thing about doing these audio or these podcasts. I don't. You know, I'm not looking at anybody. I can't. I love interacting with people and getting their stories. And of course, somebody could. Today, technology is. It can be a beautiful thing. You can actually record your story. You can send it straight to me through Facebook or a PM message, or YouTube or whatever. But you know, I think you're losing weight. Man, there are so many products and exercise equipment and this to lose weight. And to me, one is one probably one of the most powerful testimonies that you will see somebody that is overweight or was overweight. I mean, so really overweight, maybe like 400 pounds, and now they're like 180. That's pretty compelling. What did you use? Well, they did this and that and this. You know, I used to be a long time ago. I used to be a fitness instructor, also a martial artist, and you know, and I've seen my share of schemes, and I've seen my share of workout, I guess, regimens. I did a lot of workout regimens, from lifting weights to cross-country running and then fighting in tournaments, full contact tournaments and all that back when I was young. And, man, one thing I found that works for losing weight, regardless, products can help, and there ain't no, but one thing's eating, the way you're eating, cutting your calories, and of course, I know there's some will cut calories, but then they still, and then that could be a medical thing, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a medical doctor, but there's a lot of factors that go into that. But when you see somebody that is way severely overweight, and now they're like 180 or 170, you kind of, and they tell you, oh, this product did this, well, you're more likely to probably latch onto that than a professional salesperson that is already in fit and shape and got the hair and got the, you know, the nice teeth and just looks beautiful. And of course, it's all illusion. Lord knows how much surgery they've had done or what they have done to their body to look that way. Not always the case, because I don't, you always want to leave that little error, that margin of error. Some are genuine. A little overview, Acts 27:1. And all the way up to the very end of Acts. This is a little overview. In the second half of Acts, Paul made three missionary journeys, explained his conversion on multiple occasions, was in prison, held as a god, stoned, left for dead, and faced trumped up charges and threats on his life. Luke account ends with Paul in custody in Rome and awaiting trial before Caesar. The thread that connect all these events is that Paul saw every event and circumstance as an opportunity to share the gospel. Man, if we could be like that. You know, you get a flat tire and you're on your way to work. Well, You may have needed to change that tire and waited a little bit too long. I've done that before. And your tire just gave up on you. You don't have a spare and all that good stuff, right? Maybe you can relate. Still, even if it was from your own doing, you still can look at an opportunity. Instead of getting mad and getting huffy and blowing a fuse, you look at the opportunity. Okay, well, I got to take care of this. But because of this, maybe, you know, let me look at it as an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Will somebody stop and try to help? Well, can I call a friend up that I haven't talked to in a while and see if they will help? And that might lead to a conversation about the gospel. God can turn that situation, right? And as we continue, say Agrippa and Felix had listened to Paul's defense and found nothing worthy of death. Both of these guys did not find nothing to put him to death. Because Paul had appealed to Caesar, they handed him over to a centurion named Julius, who put Paul on a ship headed for Italy. Of course, we can see that in Acts 26, 32 through Acts 27, verse 1. The journey from the onset faced many challenges. After some time had passed, Paul warned the crew that was continued would lead to damage and heavy loss of cargo and lives. Paul's advice was ignored, and the ship captain, their owners, continued the voyage. You can see it in Acts 27, 1 through 12. In short time, the boat was at the mercy of the northeastern. The ship was being so severely beaten, the crew began throwing cargo and gear overboard. The storm raged on for many days, and all hope that anyone would be saved was nearly gone. And Paul encouraged the crew and the pastors to take courage, for there would be no loss of life. He related to that an angel that had told him that he need not fear because it was necessary for him to stand before Caesar. And you can see that in Acts 27, 13 through 26. In 14 days, they were drifting in the Adriatic Sea and approached the land during the night. Paul urged him to eat, since many have gone without food for days. And he took some bread, gave thanks to God, and began to eat. And this encouraged the crew, and they ate as well. And once they have eaten, they threw the remainders of the grain overboard to lighten the ship. Acts 27, verse 27 to 38. And when daylight come, they sighted bay with a beach, and they planned to run the ship aground. They got struck on a sandbar, and the stern was broken apart by the waves. Soldiers on board were ready to kill the prisoners to keep them from escaping, but the centurion intervened because he wanted to save Paul. They landed in the Maltic and were shown extraordinary hospitality. Of course, you can see that in Acts 27, verse 39 through Acts 28, verse 2. As Paul was gathering food for a fire, a poisonous snake bit him on the hand. People assumed he was being punished for a crime until they noticed he suffered no harm. And then they changed their minds, viewing Paul as a god. Who owned an estate and took him for 3 days. Paul healed his fathers and others on this island, Acts 28, 1 through 9. This is all from a shipwreck. After 3 months, they continued their journey to Rome on another ship that had weather in the Maltic. The ship landed at Ptolemais. I think that's how you would say that. Ptolemais. And they were found believers who invited him to stay with them for 7 days. You can see that in Acts 28, verse 7 through 14. When Paul arrived in Rome, believers there met Paul greatly, encouraged him. Acts 28, 15. He was put under the house arrest with a soldier assigned to guard him. Acts 28, 16. The book of Acts ends with Paul under the house arrest in Rome, where he continued to proclaim the gospel without hindrance. Acts 28:31. It's just beautiful, right? Acts 27:28. I encourage you guys to go back over those and just read that. Especially Acts 27. You know, we encounter a lot in our life, and every day can be a challenge. But man, we would get our minds, in a sense, as Paul had it going on. That's one thing I guess 2 years now, I've been deep prayer and meditation over this, over the disciple. Actually, it might be a little bit longer. I lose count of the time. is amazing, doing deep studies of these disciples, and, you know, and it's just, it's amazing. I encourage you guys to look, especially look at Paul and his life and how he was before and after, and we went over those probably a few months ago. But, well, I want to encourage you guys in Acts 28:17-28, and that's the specific scriptures we're looking at tonight. I encourage you to look for words or phrases that points to Paul's determination to share the gospel. And what other characteristics of Paul do you see in this passage? First part is called the journey. And we'll look at scriptures 17-20. That's Acts 28:17-20. That'll be the first scriptures we're looking at. Let's look at verse 17, though. And it came to pass, after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Man and brother, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our father, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into hands of the Romans. See, Paul usually began his work in his city by visiting the Jewish synagogues. Since he was under house arrest in Rome, he would need to invite the chief of the Jews to come to him. Paul began his address by claiming his innocence. His imprisonment began with Asia Jews, charging him with teaching against the Jewish law and temple. And we went over that in Acts 21:28. Paul stated that he had committed nothing, and that could be understood as being against the law or against his own people. Paul's account of his story brings to mind Jesus' prediction of himself being handed over to the Gentiles. You can see that in Luke 9:44. Both Jesus and Paul were handed over by the Jewish leaders to the Gentile government with the hope of silencing them. Neither were silenced. I want to pause there. Silence. There's a pastor there in California. He probably don't know who I am, but I think a lot of them. He wrote an article called Silent Pulpits. Silent Pulpits. I believe, as he does, the pulpits has been silenced for a long time on issues, real life issues, and we are suffering the fruit of that. As preachers, as evangelists, as whatever, you Bible teachers or pastors, we got to quit trying to be popular. We got to quit trying to worry about who we may offend, who the deacon may be at our church, and maybe the deacon has a whole family members at the church, or I don't know how, some way, but we are, you know, people in the crowd that you know personally, you go hang out with them and you consider them friends and et cetera, but see, you can still be friends with people. But when you step behind that pulpit, it's not you stepping behind that pulpit. It is supposed to be the anointing and the calling that God has laid on your heart. And not all callings and anointings are the same. Some of us are called to be a voice crying in the wilderness. Right? Some of us are called to be that Paul that will stand up against all of the odds, or Peter. Our callings and our anointings on our life is very important. And we really need to be in touch with that. And through that, we would be in touch, meaning we need to lean more on the Holy Spirit. And how do we lean more on the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5 tells us. I encourage you guys to read Galatians 5. It gives you the whole thing to tells us to walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh, right? And he gives the works of the flesh. So you can look at every one of those works of the flesh. And that's just one area in the Bible where it talks about the works of the flesh. And you can look at, does my life look like this? Does my life look like this? Lord, if any of this be in my life, remove it, Lord. And then you go into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let my life look more like this. That's a prayer that we can pray every day, part of our prayer. Lord, let my love look like your love. Let my long suffering look like your long suffering. Yeah, I know that's hard words, but we need men in the pulpit that have that longing to suffer as Christ suffered for the people, for the church. Right? The crucifixion being one of the most, and to me, I would still consider it one of the most horrible ways to die. And he took that. Not because of what he done. It's all what we have done to him and are still doing to him. To let me walk in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control my life. Let the love, the long suffering, the goodness, the gentleness, the meekness, the temperance, that's all from the King James Version part of the Bible, and joy and peace and faith, right? Let my life look like that. Let my spirit look like, let me walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. When we start doing that, we'll find, when we get behind that pulpit, wherever it may be, or it could be on the streets, it could be at Walmart, or it could be at, if you're up north, like Costco, I think's a thing up there, and or it could be at a restaurant, or, you know, marketplace, or a baseball game, a football game. The Holy Spirit can move anywhere. And when we're praying and we're seeking God's face, for, you know, really seeking his face, not praying just 2 or 3 minutes a day and then doing whatever the rest of the day. Hours of travail and mourning. What do you need me to say today, Lord? Who do you need to place in my path today? Silence pulpits. We need to be strong and preach against sin. All sin. Not just homosexuality, but all of it. The moral law of God. Even if we look upon a woman and we have these unclean thoughts, that's fornication, that's adultery, right? That's uncleanness. High moral law, right? A liar, a person that lies, a person that steals. It's all sin. Is it equal to homosexuality in God's eyes? I know we want to glorify one over the other. The new brand of sin today that is glorified, of course, is LGBT. And you will see that increase more, which eventually I believe will lead to more people wanting polygamy. Multiple marriages in America, possibly leaving to pedophilia and glorifying it, changing the name so men or women can have relationships with young children and view it as normal. That's pedophilia, right? And bestiality. Don't think these things are not too far from happening in America. When nation turns and the pulpits turn from God in the pulpits, don't speak against it. Verse 18 through 19. And when they had examined me, would I have let me go? Because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. Paul explains that his innocence was affirmed by the Roman leaders, but the objections of Jews present at his hearing caused him to appeal unto Caesar. And you can see that in Acts Acts 25:9-11, Agrippa later declared Paul to be innocent, but noted that Paul's appeal to Caesar tied his hands. Festus and Agrippa had no other choice but to send Paul to Caesar. And that's Acts 26:30-32. Paul was a Roman citizen. He was a citizen who had the right to have his case heard by Caesar. The apostle emphasized that he had nothing against the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. Paul was aware that a variety of circumstances made it possible for him to stand before Caesar as a witness for Jesus. The Jewish accusers were just one piece God was using to make that happen. Even today, God uses a variety of means to bring believers in contact with others who need to hear the gospel. Verse 20. For this cause, therefore, I've called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. The real reason Paul wanted to visit with the Roman Jewish leaders was to tell them about the hope he had found. That hope of Israel was why Paul stood before the group in chains. The hope of Israel centered on the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. Paul firmly believed that Jesus was promised, the promised Messiah who would establish himself as King and Lord. King and Lord of the nation. Paul's testimony to the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus is both Messiah and Lord, constrained the real contention between him and the Jews. And the question here is, what are some of the things God used to make possible for a person to hear the gospel? And how does God, using a variety of things, speak his sovereignty in our world? Well, what's really simple is this. Just simply me speaking through this device to give a podcast, to place it on the internet, so whoever that God wants, it's not about who I want. I would love to see 20,000 people view this podcast. If it's his will, if it's two, then it's his will. God knows exactly what he's doing. I don't. All I know is do this podcast, do this Bible study. But just using this device, it makes it possible for somebody that has an internet connection from China to Japan to Iran, or whoever has an internet connection, can come visit the website that God has laid on my heart, and they can listen to the teachings that the Holy Spirit is pouring out of me to teach. That is amazing. That is God's sovereignty. He is a sovereign God. We get so fixated on numbers. Numbers, I could care less. In numbers, yes, I wish more would view these podcasts, but you know, I'll look at it this way: God is in control. He's the king of the world. I'm not. He is Lord and Savior of all. So I just put it in his hands. Second part, the seekers. This is Acts 28, and we will be looking at verse 21 first, and we'll work our way to 23. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, and neither any of the brother that came shown or spoke any harm of thee. The Jewish leaders seemed to want to distance themselves from Paul's case. If they got involved, they would have put themselves in a difficult position. Paul was a Roman citizen, having been accused by a leader of a race of people that had already been expelled from. Been from Rome once. Agrippa, Festus had already cleared Paul, and no one in Jerusalem was asking these Jewish leaders to get involved, and they were not about to do so. Verse 22, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest for us concerning this sect. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. They did not know Paul's specific case. The Jewish leaders in Rome had heard about Christianity. The Emperor Claudius had expelled Jews from Rome in AD 49 on the charge they were creating disturbance because Christ, Acts 18:2, you can see that. After Claudius' death in AD 54, Jews began to return to Rome, including those who had became Christians. The Jewish leaders Paul now addressed appear to have kept their distance from those who had became Christians, but they were curious and were open to hearing him teach. Verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging to whom he expound and testify the kingdom of God, pursuing them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from the morning till evening. You see, the second meeting with the Romans, or the Rome Jewish leaders, lasts a full day from morning till evening. Paul presented the gospel to his group because all the people present were Jewish, and Paul focused attention on how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. Luke tells us that Paul testified the kingdom of God concerning Jesus. Jews looked to the coming of the Messiah and the restoration of God's kingdom and renew Israel, and Paul wanted to show them that this has already occurred in Jesus. He explained the Old Testament, the law of Moses and the prophets, through the lens of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Luke recorded similar words as Jesus addressed his disciples after his resurrection. You can see that in Luke 24:44-49. The question here is, what makes the gospel message so intriguing and interesting? And how does that intrigue opened the door to share the gospel with others? And man, I could go into a 2-hour discussion on the gospel and the authentication of it and how it is accurate and reliable more than a history book that you would pick up and read. But to keep it short, our gospel is not like, and our God, the God of the Bible, is not like the thousands and thousands, the last time I looked was 14,000, 15,000 gods. Our God is different. And our message is different. Our message is true and can be proved by facts. Why other gods, if you follow Greek mythology, or if you may follow Hinduism, Muslim, Buddhism, a lot of Eastern isms, you will see their gods are selfish. Their gods, it's all about what you can give to me. But our God is what he gave to us, and that is Jesus. And because of that message, which is, it is solely focused and solely the gospel, the good news, it sets itself apart from any other gods or religions out there. You know, when we look at the response to the gospel, and we're just kind of think about from Acts 13 through 28. What were some of the responses, right? Oppression, insult, rioting, division, argument, curiosity, ridiculing, interest, belief, joy. And we went over a lot of those. That's some of the responses to the gospel. So when you get rejected telling somebody about Jesus, don't get too hurt. Because many will not accept it. That's just the nature of it. The last part is called the response. Acts 28, and we will look at first verse 24, and then we'll work our way to 28. Verse 24, and some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. Some believe the things Paul said, but others believe not. Even a full day of listening to Paul was not enough for part of the group. Most of the Jewish community in Rome continued to oppose Christianity, serving as another example of the rejection of the gospel by God's own people. The gospel would have been offered to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. And you can see that, of course, in Romans 1, 16 through 17, and there's other cases. But in each case, it must be received by faith. And the question here is, how does the gospel divide and unite at the same time? And why does the gospel have this kind of effect on people? Matthew 7 is such a hard chapter to read. For me, it is. And there's a portion in there which speaks of two ways, one being narrow and one being wide. That is a dividing factor. See, the narrow way leads straight to God, and it's not the easiest way because our flesh don't like a hard path. It will always seek a easy path. The wide path will always be the most easiest, and the flesh enjoying path. And the flesh is a strong thing. That's why we have to die daily. But that is a dividing and uniting part. Which way will you go? Will you accept this message I've just given you about this pathway and a discipleship? And it can be rough and it can be tough, but it will be worth it in the end. You will have to suffer, experience things in this life that might be uncomfortable. Are you willing to say I do and commit yourself to Christ to be a soldier? Yes or no? And when we look at that, we have to recognize our sinful nature. And sin is not popular to preach on, but it is part of the gospel. A lot of times what you will see with popular evangelistic movements or evangelistic preachers or televangelists or well-known pastors who are breaking in billions of dollars, they will really not focus on sin. They may say it in a passing, and some will not even speak on it at all because it don't sell. That is another dividing and united part. A salvation message should have that sin component in there, because one, Jesus died for our sins, and you can go all the way back to Genesis and point that out until now. Verse 25 through 27. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spoke the Holy Ghost by Elijah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto the people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of his people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and shall be converted. And I shall heal them. That's God. Luke seems to want Theophilus to know that the argument over the gospel continued, but while anyone leaving, the group was now divided. Those believe and those who did not. All was good until Paul quoted one particular Old Testament passage. When introducing this passage, he reminded them that what he was about to say were the words of God spoken by the Holy Ghost. In the group wanted to argue, they would have need to argue against the scriptures. Paul quoted Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. Isaiah emphasized the ears, the eyes, and the heart. The heart was considered to be a place where a person understood and decided to act. The picture painted by Isaiah was of a group who could hear and see but were unwilling to act as they heard and saw. If the people of Isaiah day have heard and understood God's message, they would have turned from their ways in repentance and received God's healing hand. God's healing. God's desire was that they be converted and healed, but for that to occur, they had to respond. Paul had spent a full day with these Jewish leaders, and they had expressed a desire to hear Paul, but some really did not want to hear his message. They were unwilling to receive what they heard. Their rejection of the gospel filled the prophecy of Isaiah 6. There were others waiting to hear the gospel who would receive it. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Paul delivered the message unto the Gentiles was nothing new. Doing so was that what got him in trouble with the Asian Jews in the first place. He was not giving up on the Jews. Believers are to be faithful witness to all people, regardless of their response. Paul still had a desire to see his own people come to faith in Christ. You can see that in Romans 9, 1 through 3. But he also realized there was Gentiles who were waiting and willing to respond to the gospel. It was to these Jews that Paul had been sent into the first place. And of course, you can see that in Acts 13, 46 through 27, Acts 22, 21. And Luke ends the book of Acts by stating that Paul remained in Rome 2 more years under house arrest. Acts 28:30. Anyone who wants to know about the gospel was welcomed by Paul, apparently without Roman interference. Paul's message was consistent throughout the ministry as he declared the kingdom of God and taught about Jesus. It's beautiful. The overall take-home message tonight is God uses a variety of means to bring believers in contact with others who need to know the gospel. Believers should be looking to share the gospel with all people, especially those who are seeking to know more. Believers are to be faithful witness to all people regardless of their response. And the end of a Bible study questions tonight is this: ask God to help you to be more attentive to the opportunity to share the gospel this week. And I will encourage you recording opportunities that God has given you. And how did He help you become aware of the opportunities? And how did He help you share these situations? And the last one, or last two, is what's the difference between being a Jesus salesperson and a testimony sharer? Reflect on Acts 28:31, and how can you live out Acts 28:31 from here on out? And what can you share the gospel? Who can you share the gospel with? And all these Bible studies are centered on learning more. It really hurts my heart to see people in a church that will sit under a pastor or a preacher for many years, maybe decades, and have not shared the gospel to one person, or not even made a disciple. Acts 28:31 is preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding Him. Are we doing this? If we're not, there's opportunity for you to get highly engaged in the gospel sharing. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, thanking You for this opportunity, Lord, just to go through Your word, to go through Acts, Lord. Thank You for just giving me the strength to do these lessons, Lord. Thank You for just guiding these studies. Lord, I pray those are listening to this and they're just reflecting on it, Lord. I pray they draw closer to you through these studies, that they want to learn more and seek you more. Maybe go back through these studies or go back through the Acts 1 and 28 by themselves and just leaning on the Holy Spirit to break the scriptures down. Oh, it's the living word of God. It's the beautiful word of God. It crafts us. It shakes us. It shakes us into who we need to be. It molds us, Lord. Oh, let us be the clay, Lord. We're clay that's willing to be molded by you, God, the potter. We are the clay. You're the potter. Mold us into the disciples and the soldiers and the men and women of God that you need us to be in this perverse and wicked nation, America, that glorifies sin over you, that turns to their own understanding versus God's understanding. Oh, they want to be God because they want to dictate their life. They want to see life through their eyes and not through the scripture. They want to glorify their sin versus being condemned by it and convicted by it and humbled by it and broken, Lord. Oh, a nation that rises above God is a nation that will fall to pieces. God, I pray as we close this study out, that you just direct what it you need me to do on the next study, what scriptures you need me to go over. Lord, I pray that you go with us tonight and keep us during the night. And Lord, I pray that we rise early in the morning with joy and praise on our lips so we can go to the house of the Lord to learn more about our Savior and to have that praise and worship on our lips, to be joined with our brothers and sisters. Oh, that's amazing. Let our heart yearn more for that. Let that church, that local church in the area, shine its light so bright those around will want to come to the house of the Lord. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This ends the book of Acts. Once again, if you guys have any suggestions on what next study you guys would like to do, send me a email. You could do that. Or if you're part of my Facebook friends, I guess, and you know who you are, you send me a suggestion and I'll look at it, pray over it. I'll probably take a few weeks to pray over the next book we'll go into and seeing where the Holy Spirit, so it probably won't be a lesson next Saturday. But I will be posting devotionals and sermons on this website. So jump on those, enjoy those, and if you have you guys have any ideas that you might want to learn more, just hit me up on I'm on social media like crazy. Facebook, you definitely hit me on Facebook. You can send me a private message on something that you would like me to go over, and of course I will pray over it and see what the Lord says. And then of course you can, if you don't like Facebook, there's a social cross. The social cross is kind of not pretty big, but it's not as regulated as Facebook, and got MeWe, which is definitely not regulated as much as Facebook. And then of course you got Twitter and Instagram, which are kind of part of Facebook, so they are regulated. And of course you can send me straight through this website, which is not regulated. So many ways to get in contact with me. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.